I'm so glad that you guys are here. So good to see you. We're in this series called Selfless, and we're going to finish it today. We're going to conclude what the Lord's saying to us individually as people that make up Daystar Church, and then collectively as people that make up Daystar Church. And I hope the series has been a help and a blessing to you. We've seen this. We understand this. We've decided that we pretty much live in a selfish culture. Self-centered, self-promoting world. And we introduced a thought a few weeks ago now. What if we were not selfish, but what if we were selfless? And we've kind of talked about that and going to conclude with that today because the Lord calls us. He invites us to not promote self, but to deny self and to take upon us the very form of a servant, the very nature of a servant, because that's the way that he was. He didn't come to be ministered to, but he came to minister and to serve and to give his life for ransom. So he set a wonderful example for all of us to look away from the selfish, self-centeredness, self-promoting nature, but rather be selfless. And so we talked about this in week one. We talked about how that we can overcome a selfish attitude by being bold in our spirit, being bold in our witness. And week two, we talked about being faithful in service and certainly use the Lord as our example. Last week, we talked about overcoming our selfish attitudes by being generous, daring to be generous. And today I want to talk to you about something that's dear to my heart. And probably going to use more personal illustrations and tell a little more personal side and story than you've heard in a long while from me. But it's something that's dear to my heart because we all get in this grind called life. I mean, we just day after day. Sometimes we have this routine that we do, and I'll just be very honest with you this morning as I try to introduce. And I think a lot of you will be able to relate what we're going to be talking about today. But for so much of my life, I lived under the illusion that there's something else out there. There's something that might be just a little bit better around the corner. Something else that is out there coming down the pike that really matters. And it matters more than what I'm doing right now. And there's something around the corner that's going to make a big difference. It's that thing. It's that event that we've been looking for or anticipating and waiting for that's going to bring meaning, that's going to bring fulfillment and give us that significant moment that maybe we all have been looking for. It's not here yet, but it's coming. And, you know, we firmly believe that. And I can give you so many examples of my life and how it's kind of played out in my own life. And I can imagine that for a lot of you, you were the same way. But when I was growing up, I have four brothers. I'm the oldest of the five boys. My mom and dad, they kind of had this idea they wanted to get a basketball team. So it'd take, you know, five guys for a basketball team. So five boys. And what a treat that was. What a challenge that was growing up in that kind of atmosphere and that kind of family. But when I was growing up, I couldn't wait till I got my license, you know, 16. You know, that's the next big thing. I was just waiting to that moment to get here so I could be legal when I was driving, because I learned to drive when I was 6 years old. A 1948 three-speed on the column Chevrolet pickup truck. That's how I learned to drive. My dad needed some help in the tobacco field, and he needed someone to drive the truck after he had already cut the tobacco down, put it on the stick, and he needed somebody to drive the truck as he would pick it up and put it on the truck. So dad taught me how to drive when I was 6 years old. Couldn't wait till I was actually 16 to get my license so I could drive legally. And then couldn't wait to graduate high school. Man, that was the next best thing. I was fortunate enough to play a little ball, athletics, be involved in athletics in high school, and that was a wonderful time. And couldn't wait for that next big game, you know, and it's just that next big thing that's coming coming down the pike, and along the way I met a young lady that I fell in love with, actually from the very, I mean, it was love at first sight for me. It wasn't for her, but it was for me. I'll save that story for another time, but it was love at first sight for me, but not for her. And boy, we got married. I just couldn't wait to get married, and you know, that was the next best thing and the big thing that was coming. We got married, hallelujah, thank you Jesus, you know. And our family, we were just great. And the next big thing was starting family. So we're pregnant now, and the next thing we know, Roberta has a miscarriage. And you know, we couldn't wait for the time that the Lord allowed us to have a family. And so Craig was born, and so excited about him being here and watching him grow up. 14 months later, his sister was born. And you know, all the challenges and the privileges and the responsibilities and the wonderful things that take place in raising children, and couldn't wait for them to do this. And then it finally came. They were off to school, and we turned around a few times, and they were very involved in athletics. And I'm telling you, we just turned around a few times, and it seemed like, you know, they were graduating, and they were off to college, and we were doing our best to try to help them get through college. And we couldn't wait, man, to just get them through college, you know. We'd have that bill behind us, and that would make a little less stressful as far as the finances was concerned. I just say all of that to say this, that I just found myself in whatever season I was in, just kind of wishing the current season away, waiting for the next one to come. Ministry-wise, man, we went off to college, and I couldn't wait to get out of college and get involved in ministry in a church. And boy, I wish I had about an hour to tell you how the Lord opened the door for us to serve in our first area of ministry. A wonderful group of people. I served as a youth pastor, and man, I'm telling you, I absolutely love that first group of young people. I poured into them. They poured into me. We were young and grew up together, and some of them are sitting right here in this room today. Some of those relationships, I mean, the roots go down deep. And when that youth group, when they left and were old enough to graduate out of the youth group, part of my heart went with them. I mean, literally it did. And I really felt like the Lord was dealing with my heart about becoming a pastor. So that was the next thing that I was looking to. And I've had a wonderful opportunity to serve in a few churches, serve the Lord, and serve people, and so thankful for that. And then Daystar, I mean, this has been one of the greatest things that's ever happened to me in my life. And I tell you guys this often, outside of my salvation and my family, you guys are the best thing that's ever happened to me. And so I'm so excited. We started right here in this building, right here in this room. And we couldn't wait to move from here to the high school. And we moved from here to the high school, and we were there for a period of time. And then we moved from there to the ice area. Over off of Watt Road and Kingston Pike, and then just so excited about that. And then things worked out, and here we are. We're back here, and we've been here for a little bit, and now so excited about what's going to take place, what is taking place, maybe just a half mile from right here. And we've gone from one phase to another. And I look back, and 35 years of ministry have passed. And here's what I've learned from personal experience. Here's what I've learned from dealing with people for all of these years, with people all these years, whether it's personal, whether it's professional. Here's what I've learned. You know, we think that there's something else out there, something just around the corner. There'll be that next achievement, that next goal, that next accomplishment, that next friendship, that next possession, that next great vacation. It'll be something that fills an empty spot that we might have on the inside. But around the corner, there's always, always, always another challenge, another goal, another vision, another dream, another perceived prize. I've lived long enough now to look back and see a real weakness in my own heart and life. And I've told you this. They say that confession is good for the soul. But we'll tell you, it's also bad for the reputation sometimes. So this is a real weakness in my life that I'm dealing with today. And this is one of the reasons why it means so much to me to be able to share with you. Because I see it here, but I also see it in other people. And it's certainly prevalent in our culture today. Our dreams, our passions, our goals, whatever it is that we get, we think that there's got to be something else out there. There's just got to be something else. And culture totally and completely feeds into this mindset. You just think about the commercials. You think about the advertisements. You think about everything that you see on social media. And it just kind of says this. It says, indulge yourself. It says, gratify yourself. Get whatever you want. Get it however you can. You deserve it. You're worth it. But the problem is, Jesus said this. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. This is the verse that we've used kind of as a springboard to get us into this series. Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Now watch this. Deny himself. And then he says, take up his cross and follow me. So Jesus said this. He said, if you want to be my disciple, he said, you don't indulge yourself. You just don't do that. Here's what you do. You deny yourself. And then he said, you take up your cross. And that's a picture of us dying to the fleshly desires that we have so that we can live for him by the Spirit and the power that he gives us. And then he said this. He said, then follow me. So we deny ourselves. We take up our cross. And then we follow him. And there's a great verse that I want to share with you this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. And kind of want to use this verse here as an anchor to kind of hold us down and really deal with and drill deep here of what we're going to be talking about just for a few minutes. And the Apostle Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. He said, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And I'd like for you, if you would please, to say the highlighted words together aloud, not a soft, but aloud, on three, all right? Let's say them together. One, two, three. Do all to the glory of God. Do all to the glory of God. That means, Richard, I'm so thankful for all you do. Man, come in, set up. You should see this place before he gets here. If it's cleaning and setting up for church, do it for the glory of God. And you do. You feel like that's a ministry God's allowed you to have. Whether it's laundry, whether it's washing dishes, whether it's that small and insignificant thing that you may be trying to accomplish, do all to the glory of God. And I look at so much of my life, and if I'm really honest this morning with you, a great deal of whatever I've done, it's kind of been my dreams, my desires, my passions. But I feel like it's also a part of what the Lord has called me to do and allowed me to do. But here's what I've come to believe, that the prize is not out there somewhere. The prize isn't what you're able to accomplish occasionally. The prize is what you're doing now, when you're doing it for the glory of God. So I want you to think about a few things this morning, and I want to ask three questions and try to. Allow these questions to become statements that we're going to deal with, and kind of drive us throughout the message this morning. Just a little bit of a different kind of message, but like I said, it's really close to my heart. So I'm having a hard time trying to put some things together and express my heart and express it where I can articulate it. And hopefully it makes sense to you. All right. So there's three questions. And you got your Daystar card in hand? You ready? Got your pen ready? Let's do this. Let me give you three questions. You're going to see them right away. Here they are. First question that I want to ask you today as we talk about this is, what if the work is the reward? What if the work is the reward? What if it's now? What if it's not something that's out there around the corner? What if it's not that next thing coming down the pike? What if the work is the reward? What if what we get to do right now is the reward? Here's the second question. What if the prize is the process? What if the prize is the process? And the third question is this. What if we can be grateful in the grind? And that's what we're going to try to talk about a little bit today. Just being grateful in the grind. Sometimes we get in a rut. Sometimes we just feel like we are doing the same thing over and over again. What if we can be grateful in this grind? So whatever you do, you can find meaning, you can find fulfillment, you can find satisfaction when you do it, as Paul said, do it for the glory of God. So let's talk about these just for a moment. Look at the life of the Apostle Paul just for a few minutes. And here's the first thing. What if the work is the reward? What if the work is the reward? Now, I want to show you a text where the Apostle Paul, I think, is being very transparent here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 9 and 10. And here's what the Apostle Paul says. He said, "For I'm the least of the apostles." Now, I want you to stop and just think about this, what he's saying here. Here is a guy that was able to accomplish a lot for the cause of Christ. Here was a guy that was able to lead a lot of people to faith. Here is a guy that literally wrote a lot of scripture that we have today. He said, "I'm the least of the apostles. I'm not the greatest. I'm the least of the apostles. I'm not worthy to be called an apostle because I did something." He actually says here, "I was a bad man." He said, "I persecuted the church." And by that, I'm going to tell you what he did. He persecuted believers. He even had believers put to death. He basically said, "This is my story, though. And I'm going to give you my story." He said, "I'm going to be very transparent here." He said, "I'm the least of the apostles, not worthy to be called apostle." And he said, "The reason for that is because I persecuted the church of God." But now, I want you to notice verse 10 here. He said, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." By the grace of God, Paul says, "I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain." And I want you to stop and just think a minute here. The grace of God toward you is not in vain. The grace of God toward me is not in vain. And Paul says this, he said, "But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I." But he says, it's the grace of God which was with me. In other words, Paul says, before I was a follower of Jesus Christ, he said, I was kind of a bad man. He said, I was kind of a bad dude. He said, I hated Christians. I didn't like them. I didn't like the cause of Christ whatsoever. And he basically says, this is my story, and it's all by grace. The reason that there's been a transformation that takes place in my heart and my life, and the reason that I'm different, it's because of the grace of God. Can anybody testify to that this morning? It's the grace of God that changes us. And this is the story for so many of us. We weren't good. We weren't faithful. We weren't even righteous. But by the grace of God, you are now. You're faithful. You are righteous. You are what you are by the grace of God. Now you're becoming what he wants you to become. You are doing it for the glory of God, because his grace was not in vain toward you. And Paul goes on, and I love this. He says, "I am what I am by the grace of God." But then he said this. Son, can you go back? He said this. He said, "I labored more abundantly than they all." Now, I wish that I could go back in time. I've sat in my office this week as I prepared, and I've tried to put myself in a position where I'd like to be able to go back in time and just have a conversation with the Apostle Paul, man to man, believer in Jesus to believer in Jesus. I'd like to ask him, "Paul, what do you mean by that? What do you mean you labored more abundantly than they all?" And I think Paul could say something like this: "I'm not bragging. I'm not complaining. I'm just simply stating the truth. I am what I am because of the grace of God, and that grace changed me, and because of that change, he said, I was willing, because of that transformation, I was willing to work harder than anyone else. I can't even begin to imagine the sacrifices the Apostle Paul made. So, what does it mean that you worked harder? I think the Apostle Paul could probably say something like this. He said, you know, when other people went to bed, he said, he could say, I stayed up a little longer than they did. I prayed a little bit more. I strategized a little bit more. I've changed because of the grace of God, and because of that, I labored a little. I got up a little earlier than other folks did because I wanted to start my day in prayer. When most desired comfort, Paul would say this, I realized that following Jesus was not going to be comfortable. Paul could say, you know, I was beaten a few times. I've seen the blood roll from my body because of the beating that I took for the cause of Jesus Christ. Paul could say this, I've been shipwrecked. He said, I actually spent a night and a day in the water. I can't even begin to imagine as Paul is shipwrecked and now he's holding on to pieces of the ship trying to stay afloat, but he spent a night and a day in the waters. And Paul would have to say this, I just had to go on. One time he said he could say this, I was bitten by a poisonous snake and I didn't like that, you know. I'm like that, Paul, as well. I would tell him, I don't like it either. Snakes is not one of my things. I see a snake going in one direction, I'm going the other direction. But Paul could say, I shook it off. And he said, I realized that I just had to go on. While others took shortcut, Paul could say this, I always tried to do the right thing. He would tell you, as he would tell me, I focused on his words. I would hide them in my heart. I would meditate on them. I focused on him. I let it renew his words, renew my mind and transform my mind. And if he wasn't being really humble, he could say, and oh, by the way, I wrote a lot of the New Testament. You know, I'm just saying, I was able to do that on top of everything else. When he went to cities to establish churches, he'd go to cities where there's not one single convert, not one single believer there, but he would go and establish churches and they'd lead someone to Christ and then lead someone else to Christ. And Paul could say this, I just worked harder than anyone else. And if you look at this kind of objectively and you take a step back, what you would find is Paul was not wishing his life away, but Paul, wherever he was all there. Whatever he was doing, he was all there. Even when he was in prison, Paul wasn't sitting there waiting, and saying, when I get out of here, I'm going to get back to work. Paul said, no, give me a pen and a piece of paper. He said, I'm going to write the Philippians a letter because they need to hear from me. And I think about all that he went through. And the one thing that you'll not read in Scripture is this. When Paul was shipwrecked, you won't read anything where Paul would say or give any indication that God let me down. I prayed for protection, but this shipwreck came and I spent a night and a day in the ocean. You'll not find where Paul says that God let me down. He basically said, I've got some work to do and I'm going to do it for his honor and for his glory. Now, I don't know how this applies to you and how you would unpack this and unfold this as far as your life is concerned. But here's the thing that I really want you to concentrate on. And here it is kind of in a nutshell what we're talking about today. Is in this time, whatever you're doing, do it with integrity. Do it with purity of heart. Do it with the heart of a servant. And do it declaring that this task is for the glory of God. And when you do that, I'm going to tell you, you're going to find something to be true. You're going to find that the work is the reward. You're going to find the second thing that we talked about, the prize is the process. The prize is the process. I mean, in everyday life, when you're grinding it out and just going through the normal things and going to work and doing this and doing that, grateful in the middle of the grind because you're doing it with integrity and purity of heart and with the heart of a servant and saying that this is for the glory of God. And if we do it and realize that the reward is in the work, and the prize is in the process, it'll help us to be grateful in the grind. It'll help us. It'll give us a mind shift that we'll be grateful in the grind. Now, what I want to do in closing this morning is I just want to kind of give you three what I call enemies of the true reward of doing it all for the glory of God. And some of you are like me, you know these enemies all too well. So here they are. You're ready to write these down? You can on your Daystar card. And the first enemy that you can write down is just, I just call it the pillow of comfort. The pillow of comfort. And you could pretty much figure where we're going with that. It's the seduction of comfort. And I don't know how this plays out in your life, but at some point you might think, well, you know what I really need is a little bigger house, a little better house. And then you kind of just fill in the type of house that you want. Maybe you want the heated tiles in the bathroom. Maybe you want the walk-in closet. Maybe you want the walk-in closets. Maybe it's the two-car garage and you just kind of, you're thinking about this. This would make me happy if I was able to possess this and have this. You know, if I just had that, it'd make me, maybe it's not the house, maybe it's the car. Maybe it's a newer version of an automobile, and you're thinking about what you want. You want the sun moon roof, you want the leather interior, you want the seat warmers, the seat coolers. I'm not going to tell you what my wife calls those, but maybe that's it that you're thinking about. This is what will make me happy. What if I was the boss? What if people answered to me? What if I just had enough money to take it a little easy? And I hope you understand that God never called us to easy. He called us to deny ourselves, because I'm going to tell you something, easy has never changed anything of significance. The pillow of comfort. Sometimes, and the reason I say that is this, we just get very comfortable in life, don't we? We get very comfortable in this little sphere that we operate in, and boy, we don't want to put a toe outside of that. We get real comfortable. So the pillow of comfort cries out, and we're not willing to do anything outside and extra of what we're comfortable with. Here's the second thing, second enemy, and that's the distraction of the shiny thing. The distraction of the shiny thing, the lure of the distractions of life. Here's what I've found about the distractions of life. The shiny things of life, I should say. What I may consider to be a shiny thing, you may not think that's shiny at all. There may be no lure to you whatsoever. But there might be something that you are, you know, that shiny thing that's got your attention. But here's the point. It's different for all of us. But here's what I've learned about the shiny things of life. They all eventually tarnish. And sometimes we get real comfortable in life, and sometimes we get focused on the shiny things, the distractions of life. You'll never find lasting satisfaction, true happiness in the shining things. It all goes away. Here's another and last enemy that you can write down, and that is the towel and the temptation to quit. The towel and the temptation to quit. I don't know, what's the area of your life right now, man, you're just tempted to quit. You're tempted to throw that towel in and walk away. And again, that could vary from one to the other, but you have this enemy, the temptation to quit. Jot this down in your card. You can throw in the towel. or you can pick it up and wipe the sweat off your face and keep going. And just do all for the glory of God. And suddenly you realize, as I have realized, that the work is the reward. The prize is the process. And I can be grateful in this oftentimes grind of life. Here's the thing, doing it for the glory of God. The Apostle Paul, in the early stages of his life, he was all about fulfilling his passions, his dreams, his goals, about the things that excited him. They were self-centered. They were selfish in nature. They were self-promoting. And they were basically leading him to an unfulfilled life and to a Christless eternity. But when he met the risen Savior, instead of pursuing those selfish dreams and those goals, the Apostle Paul just pursued God with all of his heart. Acts chapter 20, verse 24 said this, the Apostle Paul, he said, "None of these things move me." That pillow of comfort, those shiny things, those distractions, the thought of throwing in the towel to quit, none of those things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus. And here it is, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Paul said, my purpose in whatever I do, my purpose is to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. You remember 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31? Let's go back to it. We started with it a few minutes ago. It says, therefore, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. That means whatever I'm doing, if it's boring, whatever I'm doing, whether it's small and insignificant, whatever I'm doing, I'm going to do it for the glory of God. I'm going to tell you, when you have that mindset, that what you are doing, you're going to do it for the glory of God, you can be grateful in the grind. Now, close your Bibles. Let me just talk to you just for a second here. I want you to imagine being able to wake up of a morning and just saying something like this to God. This is your day. This is a day that you have made, and I'm going to do my very best, Heavenly Father, I'm going to do my very best to rejoice and be glad in it. Whatever it is, whether it's big, whether it's whether it's small and insignificant, whether it's exciting, whether it's just the mundane things of life, whether it's boring. Listen. I'm choosing to find purpose in this. I'm doing this for your honor and for your glory. I'm doing it for the one who changed my life, the one who transformed me by his grace. I'm not doing the work for me. I'm doing it for the one who transformed my life. He's the one that's going to get honor and glory out of it. That means this, that whatever you do, and I don't know how this is going to speak to you this morning, but I'm praying that it will speak to you, that whatever you do, whether you're driving your kids to school or you're driving them from one place to another, do it for the glory of God. Whether you are preparing a meal, do it for the glory of God. Whether you are fighting to hold your family together, do it for the glory of God. Whether you are trying to do something and you feel like you're stuck in a dead-end job, listen, you work hard, you do it with integrity, but you do it for the glory of God. Whether you're trying to recover from some crushing disappointment, whether you're dealing with sickness and you're battling that, whether you're paying down, whatever it is, paying down debt, listen, do it for the glory of God. And when you do it for the glory of God, we can be grateful in the grind. Because the prize is not when you get that promotion. The prize is not when you get that fancy house or that new car. The prize is not when you have that dream vacation to the beach or to the mountains. The prize isn't that special dream that comes true. The prize isn't making the big bucks. The prize is now. It's right here. It's right now. And that's why we make the most of every day as Michael comes. And when we do that, we can be grateful in the grind. And sometimes it gets hard to be grateful in the grind. But when we understand it's not just about us, it's not about indulging myself, it's not about treating myself, it's about denying myself. It's about being selfless. It's about being bold in spirit and witness, because here's what happens. We speak boldly about what we believe deeply. We become faithful in service because it's not, service is not something I do. A servant is who I am. I'm a servant of the Most High God. And when I serve God, when I serve others, I'm serving God. Or when I'm selfless, I'm daring to be generous. As followers of Jesus, we believe this, that it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. When you recognize that your life has been transformed by the grace of God and for His honor and for His glory, then whatever we do, we can be grateful in the grind. Yes, I know and understand. Sometimes it's easier to say than do. I'm going to tell you something. It's not so much about being selfish, but it is a whole lot about being selfless. We realize it's not all about us. But what we're doing, we're going to do for the glory of God. Whether it's buy that individual a cup of coffee in front of you, I forgot his wallet at home and didn't want to go back home to get his wallet, but was willing to go back home to get his wallet so he could come back and get him that cup of coffee. I don't know what it is that the Lord speaks to your heart about, but here's the thing. Instead of being selfish, let's focus on really being selfless. Because when we do that, we can be grateful in the grind. With whatever comes our way, we can be grateful in the grind. The work is the reward. The price is the process. And whatever we do, let's do it for the glory of God. So let's pray about that this morning.